Whatever mental health looks like for you, all of us are here for you.
What is your profession?
We will encourage you, inspire you, and build confidence in you to truly be yourself and to tackle the world. Hello there again, and welcome to season 9 of Lobau Spark, the power of friendship. This season will focus on the close relationships we have with each other and the support that is so vital for all of us with ADHD and every neurodivergent. Lobau Spark is proudly supported by Terry Shubilla, Casey Elliott, Sarah Delano, Justin Allingham, Blushing Crafter, Jamie Young, Leo Guinan, and Kirk Hofstra. Lobau Spark has started a fundraising effort for Crisis Text Line. We have a goal of $19 per episode, as $19 supports one person in their time of absolute crisis with their mental health. If you would like to donate through our fundraiser titled Lauren's Infinity, the link is listed in the episode's description. Lauren was my wife's best friend and loved by all that came into contact with her. The music in this episode is provided by Guy Farmer. Please look him up on iTunes. He is an outstanding musician and also one of my closest friends. Lobau Spark is proudly sponsored by Social Media Gardens, a safe place to promote your content. Today's ADHD friend is Sabrina Piles, and she is one of the most down-to-earth and truly real people you will ever meet. This comes as no surprise to me, as every single ADHDer I have met is truly fucking real. Sabrina and I discuss ADHD medication in this episode, which is why I must put a disclaimer that I am not a psychiatrist that specializes in ADHD, nor am I qualified to tell you what you should do. I am simply speaking from my own personal experience with ADHD medication, and I'm in no way saying that a certain drug will or will not work for you. That is for the trained professionals, of which I am not. That being said, let's go back to introducing one of the most badass people I have ever met, Sabrina. She is open, she is honest, and she has confirmed my belief that our education system flat out sucks, whether you are neurodivergent or normal. It is for these reasons I have the honor of saying, Sabrina, you are something for someone.
I originally self-diagnosed because, and I think part of it was, I'm sure you've talked about this with people, but there was, especially back then, some years prior, underdiagnosis in women.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I think it has to do with some of the ways that it might manifest and like socially how those are perceived.
It's internal a lot with women, I think.
It's less noticeable in a classroom setting that, you know, it's like, oh, she's just daydreaming. It's like, well.
Right. I told my last guest, I was like, you know, it's easy to diagnose someone like me. I'm bouncing off the walls. I'm the stereotypical, you know, guy with ADHD. The problem is girls don't get diagnosed because I think a lot of them hold it internally. They're too scared to let that side of them out. I think if you're a girl growing up, you're not supposed to be hyper and you're not supposed to be, you know, lack of focus and all those things that are stereotypical with ADHD. A boy has ADHD, we're overdiagnosed because it's,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm,
you can't sit still. Oh, here's some Ritalin, here's some whatever. That doesn't make much sense to me because that's like the least bit about what ADHD really is, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think part of it as well that would benefit everyone is just the way that our school system is set up. I mean, it's not exactly a novel observation, right? That incorporating play, not just like having, oh, there's recess, this like small, instead of incorporating play throughout the entire process.
Exactly. The school system is horrible for both neurodivergent people and normal brain neurotypicals. It's just not set up to succeed. I mean, what we're learning in that system is not what real life is. Once we're done with it.
I was even thinking specifically in the context of mathematics, now I enjoy it. It's fun. There's so much you can do with it. In school, the way they taught it was like torture by math. Like, yeah. It's insane to think about taking, like, here's five pieces of paper with equations, and it's a whole block of an equation, and solve it instead of, right. Here are the components, play with them, and gain the understanding through playing with them, which is so open to us now with technology. And I really hope that gets more incorporated into K-12.
Yeah. It sounds like you're saying, if you have the ability to do it your way, then you start to like it. It's of course, when it's told, mm-hmm. you know, and that's sad. I hate hearing that you love math now, but you hated it then, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. they were just dictating it to you. Mm-hmm. How hard is this, people? I mean, give people the freedom to figure this stuff out on their
right.
own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know,
I would hope that teachers with the, you know, the remote, everything needed to be remote provided a lot of opportunity for experimentation, but they were so overloaded with everything else that I feel they probably didn't get to take full advantage of that yet.
That's 100% true. I totally agree with that. So back to your journey with ADHD. So you self-diagnosed first.
First, yeah. And then I went to see a psychiatrist and did some tests and all of this. And so I am on medication. I've been on medication off and on for maybe, let me think, probably like about 7 to 8 years now. I'm on Adderall.
Good for you.
And yeah. I have some mixed, can I get into that a little bit?
Absolutely. Cause I'm on it too.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. I've been on it for 30 years.
So how do you, let me ask you first, what are your feelings about that medication, the pros and the cons and what your journey with it has been?
Well, it's been a rough one. I gotta be honest. Like it probably took me 15 years of, actually, no, if I started medication when I was really young, it took 20 to 30 years actually to get it right, because it would, at first they put me on Ritalin, and it seemed to me like the questions they would ask me about, like, how are you doing now? Or how are you doing? They didn't really care about the physical part of it. It was more, well, are you doing better in school? Like, how are your grades?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I was doing a little better in school, then it was, oh, well, this is working.
Right.
And mm-hmm. when maybe it really might not be it, you know, at that time. But my personal opinion of it is now, after 20 years of multiple different medications, one will work for 2 years and then stop working. The other works for 2 years, stops working. So many people give up in this process, because it's a grind. I mean, going to the pharmacy to get the medication is a grind. Like, all of they make it so hard for us to get what we need. And most people honestly give up. And right. that's what I think is so sad, is because, you know, I didn't give up. And I can say right now that for the past decade, I've been on the exact same dose of Adderall. Consistently.
Do you take tolerance breaks?
I don't even know what that is.
Because the nature of like how Adderall works, there is some amount of long-term tolerance that can decrease the effectiveness on the same dose. So some people like to take weekends. Although, you know, sometimes I say just take weekends off. Like,
right.
So I'm not supposed to be able to function on my days. Like,
right. exactly. So I haven't done that. Since it's been working for so long now, the same way, I have found there's no need to question it now, because working currently, and I don't want to, you know, break something that isn't already, you know, broken yet. You know, but you know what, I can wake up tomorrow and it might not. That's just part of, you know, the ADHD thing. And that's what's so difficult for people on the outside to understand, is that unless you actually get to know us as people, you have no chance of understanding how this represents itself in our lives, my opinion. But with the Adderall, I mean, the side effects, it cuts my appetite pretty significantly, to where I don't start eating each day until about 3 or 4 o'clock. I don't eat breakfast.
I start eating kind of late too, a lot of days. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is not a bad thing, because I still eat three times. It's just, I start at 3 p.m. and then eat at 8 p.m. and then eat at midnight. You know, and I do exercise vigorously, like
that's a key. That's so day. Key to maintaining the effectiveness of meds and everything.
That is why I think I haven't had any different effects from it, is because so my exercise is I chop firewood for fun. And then sell it right in this, of course, and then sell it. But, you know, because it's a good time. But the reason that it's great, I couldn't go to a gym because I didn't like the whole being in a gym aspect. There's somebody there 10 times stronger looking at, you know, like it's like I just want to be by myself in my own world out in the woods. And but what it really did for me was it wasn't like the physical gains that I was noticing. It was because it takes a long time to get really in shape doing anything. Yeah. And for people with ADHD, if they don't see an immediate result, that can be a problem. They might not stick with it.
Yes.
So with chopping firewood every day, even if it's not the best day or I'm a little off or whatever, if I chop one log, I see one more log on the wood stack. And that gives my brain the ability to say, I accomplished something today.
Yes.
And that is why I've been able to do it so often and never get tired of it. Each log is different than the next, and it builds every day. You can see it building every single day.
I love that. That's awesome.
There is so many things that go into this. It's not just medication, and it's not just exercise. It's not just strategy. It's a combination of all of these things, knowing that the next day, all of it could change. And being understanding and willing to accept that what works for me today might not work for me tomorrow, but that's okay.
Well, and this is I think one of your things is how this can be a superpower. And it's like our modern society requires so much context switching anyway. Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of find a way to see how adaptable we can be. Once you realize that you got to plug yourself out of the system, make your own system and plug back in.
Right.
And then we can kind of make some interesting stuff happen.
Well, more than interesting. I mean, there's a lot, like the way that we go at things and the different way our minds work is what this world desperately needs. And everyone that's like ultra successful, I'm sorry, but they've got to be neurodivergent, because every single ultra successful person in the world, everyone told them you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to battle through all of this doubt of them, you know, from the outside, but they just kept saying, I know what I'm doing is right. This is working for me. This is what helps the world. That's what heroes are built on. That's what we naturally do. You know, and the superhero thing, you know, I present that a lot because I want people that are so low that are sitting on the couch that are scared to get diagnosed to say, oh, well, shit. If I might have the ability to do that, then hell, I might go get diagnosed. So it's a little bit of, you know, I don't feel like going over and over all of just the horrible. There's a place for that. There's a place to discuss the struggles.
You have to discuss it. I mean, everything comes with the challenges.
Right. You have to. I just like on my social media accounts and TikTok and everything, like I present a superpower front because I feel like a lot of people on those platforms are just getting fed so much negative. I just kind of want to pump them up to say, hey, this sucks, but here's what you can do that might be a lot better than anyone else you know.
Rebuilding those neural pathways too, like it does take a sustained period of the positivity, because for me I used to be such a negative person, like
really
there's something always wrong with that. No, it had its benefits. I mean, I had some good critiques, I think, but nothing was happening though, you know what I mean? Right. I wasn't building anything. And now actually going back to Leo, I did that K-means clustering on my tweet. Okay. And I was really happy to see that the analysis was like, yeah, your tweets tend to be positive and about self-improvement and appreciation and gratitude. And I was like, that made me feel so awesome.
That's great.
That I have this sustained, and it took a lot of time, but it does build on itself.
It's based on momentum. I think ADHD is based so much on momentum. And yes, you are going to have that crash at once a week, once every couple of days. It happens to me every single week. It's about knowing that the next day you can start building the momentum again. You don't have to stay in that place of being mad at yourself because I couldn't do X and X and X. I think the reason that sometimes we can't do a lot of things that neurotypicals can do is that we are exhausted about doing other things so much better. I mean, aren't there some things that you do that just knock it out of this park?
The hard stuff comes easy, and the easy stuff is so hard. It feels it's
exactly
very backwards.
Exactly. Lucky for us, life is hard as shit. So if you look at it like that, you know, we should really attack life. The problem is that it is a disorder and it can cripple us. And it is a significant issue across the world, because not a lot of people will agree with this, but I think ADHD may be at the core of what allows a lot of other, quote, more serious mental disorders to come in. And the reason that that is because I believe that, and this is, I'm not a doctor. Here's my clarification for everyone listening, not a doctor. None of this has any clout. It's just my opinion. I'm just someone with ADHD. But I feel like if our brain has a separation between knowing what to do and doing it, if we can't find a way to build a bridge between those two things ourselves, then it is going, how do you get there? How do you get from knowing what to do to doing it? That has to, what kind of hell is that? That will allow depression to, I mean, you're sitting on one side, desperate to get to the other side. You see this other side that you know that you can do, but you can't do it. So you're crying out, please, like, I just want to be on that other side.
Yes.
And yet you can't. That is going to make you depressed. That is going to cause you all sorts of other things that
depression. That was my first diagnosis. And it's like, well, it turns out that it's just kind of depressing to know what you need to do and have so many great ideas and you don't have the executive function to do them. Turns out.
Or you get so excited about them and then you can't explain them to someone else. So that person looks at you like you're weird or you're different, when in your mind, you know that what you just thought of is so smart and so brilliant, but if they can't relate back and understand you, that hurts. That then the rejection sensitive dysphoria comes in. You got you get criticized. Like, and I struggle so hard with that too. Like, because you know we're perceptive as hell. I mean, you're probably one of the most perceptive people you know. You can read people pretty well, I assume.
Unfortunately, I do tend to notice things.
Doesn't it suck?
It really does.
I mean, sometimes it can be like really helpful, but other times you're like, God, I really wish I didn't fucking know what exactly is going on.
Right. That's my joke is a G.I. Joe reference. I say, knowing is 10% of the battle at best. Right.
Okay, I love that. I love that. That might be the fade out to the episode with the emotional music. That's a great comment. I just think that, so back to the bridge analogy, like if we are able to figure out that bridge, how to build it ourselves, that is what ultimately makes the difference. And that can be a combination of, okay, I'm going to try medication. It might not work. There's one nail, you know, into the bridge. Mm-hmm. And then, I might need to exercise like this. I might need to chop firewood so I can see an instant result every day. Okay, there's another nail. And when you build it yourself, you start to gain confidence inch by inch by inch until that connection is made. But once it's made, you sure as shit don't take that for granted, because you had to build it. You had to do the work. You don't just casually drive over a bridge expecting, you know, everyone else just drives over it. You know what? I know what to do when I do it. I drive over the bridge. No big shit.
Yes. I love that. Cause we have like society that builds bridges and then sometimes they don't work for us. So like it's harder, but you get to look back and say, I built that. I didn't just walk across it. I built it as I was walking across.
Right. I built that motherfucker. Come on, let's go. Like that's but very that, true. Well, and that also, so that is kind of where I'm at now is, I'm so goddamn proud of myself for having built it in getting to this point that, you know what? Yeah, I will say that I'm really good at a lot of things. Like, I'm confident enough to say that and really actually believe it, not just say it because I watched Tony Robbins, you know, give a motivational speech, but actually because I am so confident in who I am. But I had to do so much fucking work to get to that. Nothing comes easy to us. The good part, though, is that what in life worth having is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've never heard of an epic story or a great, you know, never seen a great movie about a person that woke up, went to their 9-to-5 job, did absolutely nothing, came home, went to bed at the same time, woke up, did it again. There's no conflict there. Okay. Like, with us, there's a shitload of conflict, but there are also a shitload of results if we can try and tune out the people that don't think we're going to be shit. Because if we start to listen to that, that bridge will fall down that we've built.
When you realize the way that others' negative commentary becomes, and then you realize it's not even them anymore, it's you that's doing it to yourself.
I know.
That's when you have to. I'm one of these people. I mean, you may be like this too. I love reading like how to rewire your brain and different meditation. I'm bad. I love that stuff.
It's funny. I do like that stuff. The thing is, I'm so bad at reading because I'm also dyslexic. It's kind of like I need to see it on a YouTube video kind of thing. And then mm-hmm, I'm a visual, mm-hmm. Like it's got to be, you know, which is hilarious that I have a podcast. I mean, think about that for a second, which is audio. But yeah, the reading about meditation for me, I feel like meditation is different for me than it is for a lot of other people. But that's the whole point.
I'm curious. How do you mean you feel it's different for you?
So when I exercise, like the firewood, that's meditation too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am getting out so much frustration from any of the issues I had that day by taking it out on something that's a little bit safer than, you know, because when I'm done with that exercise, I'm exhausted. Uh-huh. But I see instantly the result of my exhaustion. So I feel uplifted. So I'm fine being exhausted. I'm fine having recovery days. If I knew there was a result for having them.
Yes. So you took that before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water, after enlightenment, chop wood, carry water thing very literally.
Very. wait. So is that a thing? Like, is that an actual?
Yeah, it's like it's an expression.
Oh, is it really?
It has to do with the fact that you don't like through meditation, some people expect, they don't think they're doing it right because they expect everything to be different, but it's not about that. It's about the change in mindset and recognizing right. that and being at peace with it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's awesome that you told me that. I learned a shit ton right there because the only reason I started it was a neighbor's tree fell across our property and I needed to get my car out. I was like, okay, I'm just going to get an axe. Like I can't afford shit. So I'll just do this. I will never forget it. The first swing, I saw the wood chips fly. I'm like, oh my God. That was that ADHD. Talk about hyper-focus. But it's been 10 to 15 years I've been doing that. So I haven't gotten tired of it. And I think that's a huge key. Everyone wonders, how can you maintain, you know, consistency with ADHD? Number one, you got to find something that you really love, but everybody knows that. But you got to see the result, a consistent result of your effort, because you're putting in so much more effort than the average person to get something done.
Totally makes sense. Because I think about this a lot in terms of like the key to exercise. Exercise is so key to mental health. But the thing is, you can, like, if someone's really depressed, you can tell them just start exercising, but and they know that, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's like, I know.
How do you help onboard people to that push where they're doing it? And I think that the firewood thing's an awesome example, but I've kind of been picking my brain about, because you can't just tell someone that, but maybe you can hand someone a system that helps them actually start.
Okay. And that is exactly why, like, so after this, you know, we talk or whatever, you'll probably get an email about how we get together as a group every single Friday and just shoot the shit. It's ADHD people that have been on this show. And the whole, like, you could lead a horse to water, but not make him drink, you know, all of that. Mm-hmm. My thing is, I want to lead a horse to another horse, that might know where the water is, because I don't know the water in where the water is for most people, but someone else might be able to, and then someone else might be able to. And so you get to pick from a lot of different opinions and different strategies or whatnot, because one size does not fit all. I mean, these people out there that are putting out this, my strategy works, you got to do, you know, all that shit.
Like, a thread, yeah, top like, 10 strategy for being a boss. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, how is that helping anyone? Because to me, I do have a strategy. Spark is actually the strategy. It's speed, passion, attitude, reliability, knowledge. It's an acronym. Okay.
Interesting.
And I wrote this entire thing out years and years ago, and I follow it every single day. It works for me. But it's basically one element relies on the next. I want to start every day as fast as I can, but I'm going to get tired. When I get tired, I use my heart to speed me back up. So I have to care about something. But eventually my heart's going to get weary throughout the course of a day. I have to use a steadfast attitude to gain my heart back that then makes me fast again. So it goes in that. So
I agree so much with the momentum is understanding how to build momentum is like the key.
God, it honestly is the closest thing I can think of for people with ADHD to build that momentum, knowing that that momentum is going to be cut and then how to gain it back.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I wrote this whole thing out when I first got a job. I also have only had one job in my entire life as someone with ADHD. I've had the same career for 18 years.
Wow.
I work for a college football team, and it is literally, I woke up in college drunk and hungover and said, what the hell am I doing with my life? Showed up at the stadium and said, I love football. I want to work in football. But of course I don't have the athleticism and all that to play. I just wanted to work there. And after a couple of weeks of saying no, 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 they finally let me volunteer, and the rest is history. 6 months after that, nice. I was part-time, and then, you know, a year after that, I'm full-time, and now I have a staff of a bunch of people, and I operate all of our home events. I coordinate all of our home events for every sport we have, not just football. So it's a lot, but it had to be a lot. And when I first got the opportunity to volunteer, that's when I wrote out that strategy. I sat up one night and I'm like, what are your best qualities? What are you the best at? And I'm like, well, I'm really fast. And my heart is probably too big. Sometimes I think a lot of us with ADHD understand that empathy, you know, side. Do some people consider you, you know, to be a little bit standoffish or have a little bit of an attitude about you? Yeah. So my attitude is actually one of those things. I'm also reliable as shit. And I'm really, really smart, really smart. When I have the freedom to reflect alone with no distractions on what has happened throughout the course of a day. So speed, passion, attitude, reliability, knowledge in order. But one element doesn't work without the one below it. So when the attitude, how I gain attitude, exercise. But even if exercise doesn't work, I increase reliability to other people at maximum, because then their attitude towards me is going to go up, which makes me get back to that, which makes my heart get better, which makes me fast again.
That, I love the concept. Actually, I hadn't really thought about it before, of identifying your strengths such that if you do feel that one, that well is running dry, it's like, well, then stop what you're doing and lean on one of your other strengths to get the momentum back. I love that.
It's meant to have backup upon backup upon backup, because that's, I think, what a lot of ADHD people need, is to have a shit ton of backup plans. Because again, some days are different. And they're so different for us, because we experience things absolutely outrageously every day. I do, at least, you know, but outrageous in a good way. But this is a great tangent, because we started with, I don't like people pushing strategies down your throat that I just went through my entire day.
Yeah, that's true. But I do. There's also some strategies that are more of a template that is not as prescriptive. That exactly just is. Right. Here's an option of how you might work with what your strategy is to improve it or change it.
So my first season is 5 episodes, and each one is the power of ADHD speed, the power of ADHD passion, you know, all of that. Okay. They're okay. Shorter. And I use examples from my life. Like I talk about how I started chopping firewood, and I talk about the story of going to the stadium and all of that. So each one of them has an example after it. So you might want to, if you listen to podcasts, like you might want to check out the first season if you want to hear what Spark like actually, and yes, it is heavy, like superpower. And there's some movie clips that are funny and all this stuff, but it does describe, you know, those things in more detail. But okay, today,
awesome.
I just want to talk about your journey. So we got to give, I've been talking too much on this one. So back to you.
Okay.
What about ADHD has been a disadvantage for you as an individual?
I think that we've kind of talked about this earlier, but just getting in your own head and having like all these little manifestos, but watching time pass and you don't feel that you've taken action, and you start to get like kind of remorseful. It's easy to fall into that mindset of thinking about things. Oh, you know, some big thing happens. Like, well, I thought of that before. I just didn't, you know, do it. And so now I am getting better. I am getting better at it all the time. I'm getting better at understanding that you need to do it right then. I have an idea. Okay.
Oh my God. Yes. 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 Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. That is another bedrock principle that you'll hear. That first is it's got to be done immediately. It's got to be done that second, or it will never get done. The problem is, I don't know if you relate to this, but for me, it's got to be something that when I'm focused on something important, and then I am distracted by someone asking me to do something that is of zero importance in this world, I can't get back to the important thing, because in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, damn it. I do need to take that one trash bag out to the thing, but I really don't want to. And it's not going to change the world, but my wife asked me to do it, and I need to do it. But that, what people don't understand is that one request, that one simple thing, if we're enthralled in something, can cripple us for days. Because you take the trash out, you might not return to that great idea as soon as you're done taking that trash out. And that's where the world, and luckily I have a very, very understanding wife that honestly, she has researched it. She has, you know, she is very neurotypical, but it is, thank God, because she does the finances, or I'd be so fucked.
Oh God, that is definitely a whole thing for sure.
Isn't it? Yeah, it's like,
Sometimes I feel like I'm good with like almost everything except for money. And I'm like, why did that have to be the thing? Why couldn't that have been the thing I was good at?
It's like, couldn't that have been the hyper-focused brain of mine that like took it out? Yeah. Oh man. Credit cards for us. Those are interesting. Oh, I spent $800 and you sent me a bill for $20. Okay. Yeah, that's not going to be a problem in 3 months. Lord. But anyways, so you're disadvantaged, so you're getting better though, as you say, at all this.
Yeah. And you know, I think like finishing projects, I have so many like half finished robots lying around that, you know, I am also a part of the 100 Devs community. And
I'm not sure.
So that is it's a web development agency and kind of a boot camp educational community that's led by someone named Leon Noel. And it's similar to your concept in that he teaches, but what he mainly teaches in addition to programming is community, how to build community, how to put yourself out there. And so there is a main program, but it kind of has these nodes of people that come together and learn how to provide value and learn how to work together. And it's been really, really helpful, not even just in programming.
So you are a programmer.
Yeah.
The intelligence that takes, like I have seen our programmers at work and they are zoned in, and I look at their monitor. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Look at their monitor. I'm like, I don't need to hear about the Matrix right now. I don't know what that is. I just like all these numbers going like sit there. I'm like, you stay smart. I'm gonna, you know, but that's amazing.
It's cool. You can get, it's like you were talking about before, it provides really cool, tangible results. That's one thing I really enjoy about it is like when you're making something over time, one day it just starts working and you can see all these days with, what am I even doing? Am I, does this right. even matter? And then one day it all comes together and you have something fun and cool. And it is That's very awesome. Satisfying.
That is awesome. Is there anything that you think of that you can think of that you could do every day that are quick wins, like quick wins where, so with the programming, it's a struggle, you know, it's hard, but then the result, you know, you see it come together. But each day, I think another, I keep going back to the firewood thing because it gives my brain, like a lot of people will say, start with the hardest task of the day first. I don't do that because I want to build momentum consistently throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Go shot one fire log. That's it. Just one fire log. Boom. I won that. I did something. One thing leads to two that leads to three. And then by the time the big stuff comes, I'm on such a high or on such a roll. So I was just wondering, is there anything in your life you could think of that you could win at and take a sense of pride in each day?
Sure. You know, with programming, especially the way I get that is by helping, is by awesome. Finding people that are awesome. Earlier in their learning journey than I am and just helping them. That's very fantastic. I can do that every day. I can help someone with a small problem. I can help provide a good resource to help them empower themselves on their learning journey. And that's really satisfying.
That's so awesome, Sabrina. I love that. And I still talk to, I think, 70 people with ADHD now, and not one of them has said, I'm bad at helping people. Like, or I don't like it. Or I don't, you know, not a single one, which is God, I love that.
I always thought it was kind of funny how sometimes people will say something like, well, you know, it's really selfish if you get fulfillment out of helping someone. I'm like, wait, so two people feel good and that's like double good. That's not bad. That's a
right.
good
thing. That's good. Okay.
What?
You view this the exact same way I do, because that person that says, well, isn't that selfish, has just said you need to focus on yourself more. Like that's it.
It's like wraps around on itself.
So it doesn't make any sense. It's like, well, you got to put yourself first. Okay. But now you're being too selfish. You see where the, okay. So what exactly the fuck would you have me do here? but I agree. I mean, by helping others, you are helping yourself. Yes, it's selfish. It's also extremely loving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't see how that's a problem. Yeah, helping people it's one of the best drugs for you and the other person there is. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's addicting, but there are worse things you could be addicted to.
That's another interesting intersection with ADHD is that an addiction, because, you know, there's all these like
100%.
There's all these symptoms that are kind of second order that are a result of it. And I'm glad that there's more open discussion about this now, because for all the, you know, complaints people have regarding medication, and some of them are more legitimate than others, the fact of the matter is a lot of people that aren't given this diagnosis and medication, they end up self-medicating with any kind of substance you could think of, and it derails their life even further. And then they're not, and people see the addict or they see the addiction and they don't even think about what the root cause is in our society so often, that there's just swaths of people that are like lost that could be helped by understanding ADHD better, and that they are self-medicating for executive dysfunction.
Right. And that's kind of what you and I are doing right now. I mean, the hope is that someone listens out there that is on the couch struggling with going to get diagnosed and getting help and says, well, shit, Sabrina and Lobauer, fucking awesome. If that they have ADHD, I'm not a complete loser. I'm a good person. I care about people. I like to help. Okay. Yeah. Give me some of that diagnosis. Like, you know, I just don't want people that think that they have it to just not address it, because you're right, the addiction, and sometimes if we're being honest, even people that are diagnosed that do have the medication and whatnot, they still go to those outside substances. It's a real big problem with ADHD, because it's the dopamine, like that's you know, for me, I've struggled to find the safe, you know, dopamine, but I do think skydiving is better than drugs. So I enjoy that. And I've told this story before, but three 3 days into my honeymoon with my wife, I went skydiving.
I love it.
And she's like, so you've been married to me for 3 days. You're jumping out of a plane. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what ADHD is. But I still love you. But you've already said what an advantage of ADHD is for you. So I'm going to go right into like the last question that I ask, which is, what are you most proud of in your life? And now here's the thing about this. This is where it's a little bit tough. And this is the hardest question for anyone to answer is it cannot be, because a lot of people say I'm most proud of my spouse or my kids or my, well, that's all great, but it's got to be a characteristic within yourself that you do well, that you are the most proud of. So like, I am proud that I battled through this to get here. I am proud that I'm the most loving person I know. I'm, you know, something that is unique to you.
Okay.
I know it's tough.
So this is kind of two things, I guess, but I'm going to try to collapse it into one. They seem related to me, but so just as a little bit of a journey, I mentioned this before as well, but I used to be, you know, I had a lot of good critiques and analysis, but I was kind of a scumbag. I was young and I, you know, I just didn't like fully understand the impact I had on other people. Some of it was good, but
right.
I woke up one day and I made a decision that I wanted to be someone with integrity and I wanted to be someone that people could lean on and rely on. And I made the changes in my life to become someone where now, before I was like a flake and I just, but now like I take initiative, I help people, I organize groups, I show up, and I'm really proud of the journey, that decision that I made, that I wanted to change the kind of person that I was and the work I put in to become who I am today.
That is amazing. You know what? That's one of the best ones ever, because what you just said right there is I am proud of my aha moment. Because we all have that. When we wake up and we're like, aha, I don't want to be this way. I want to be this way. That's huge. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a programmer, so you're obviously brilliant, right? You have to be smart to do that, but you're also smart because you're perceptive and you know how to read people. Like that's, you mentioned that earlier. So it takes a special kind of brain to do that. You love helping people because number one, it helps them. Number two, it helps you. Mm-hmm. Also, now you're on the correct path in your life because of you want a life of integrity. So smart, passionate, and has integrity. How is this a bad thing? because guess what? If you are smart, if you have ADHD, you're going to go over the top with just how smart you are. So it's extremes. So you're so smart. You're way smarter than most people because guess what? ADHD is the exaggerate, you know, the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. So your good things, being intelligent, being passionate, they're all on a heightened level. That's good.
Yeah, but I will say one thing though, is that I am still like at the stage in my life where I would say I have like a lot of integrity now and I contribute and all this, but I'm still cleaning up from when I was younger and some stuff that I did in a way I regret. So I still have a journey to go on to heal myself and my community and to become like whole in a way, but
we're never going to be finished.
I'm working though, you know, and yeah, I feel exactly. Like on a path, and that's, I have to forgive myself for not being perfect so that I can be myself.
Isn't that hard?
We
strive for this perfection. It's like, why are we trying to be perfect when honestly the working to be perfect, like you just said, is what matters. I mean, that is literally what matters. And I think that ADHD people, I think in my non-medical opinion, that ADHD people are amazing at the things that ultimately matter in life and really shitty at the stuff that doesn't.
The world will already take care of being hard on you. You don't need to be hard on yourself. Let other people, don't say it to yourself to protect yourself, all this negativity.
The things that you're really great at, that matters in life. Like those matter ultimately. The things that you suck at don't mean shit. in the grand scheme of things. If you really think about it.
I mean, I think you definitely have a very positive attitude, and it's pretty infectious.
I know that. And it's not like, it's not manipulation, except we could be really good at that. But more what it is just, I used to not be this positive. Like, I haven't been, it took my wife's best friend ending her life 3 years ago to put me in this, you know, seat a year ago. And she had ADHD, and she was this incredible person. I was also friends with her, her husband. He used to work for me, but he and I are still close to this day. When that happened, her name was Lauren, and she basically, throughout her mental health struggle, there were so many times where she just wanted to talk to me for 10 minutes. And because she said, you were the only one that can at least for 10 minutes take away some of this. You know, you let me talk the way I want to talk, and you let me say things I want to say. You never judge, you know, me for it. And, you know, and that was a really meaningful thing. But I mean, this podcast only exists because that happened. And the second that happened, I lashed onto her husband and my friend like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And I would not let her death cause his. And I don't mean like he would have gone and done that. But what I mean is an emotional, you know, kill so his spirit. And I use the same strategy. I've used it, everything smart to help him. And I was just in his wedding, or his remarriage, you know, a couple of months ago. And that was a proud moment. It's not easy, but he made the choice to get up. He made the choice to say, like, God, I got dealt the worst fucking, I mean, that's this shit. Cause he tried to help her so much, but some people are so gone in their mental health. And like, it was never I always say that she died due to mental illness. I will never say she made the conscious decision to do this. Cause I don't believe that that's true when people do that. I just don't think that. I think that they honestly believe the world would be better without them in it. And I think that is something that I desperately want to change, is to tell people that no, it won't be better, because yeah, there's a lot of things that you're not great at. There are so many things that we're not good at, but I guarantee you that what you are amazing at is so much more important than what you're not good at.
Let them say it. Don't say it to yourself. Build yourself up.
It's exactly what we're trying to do. It really can save your life if you start thinking along the lines of, what are my good characteristics and how do I use those to their maximum and ignore as much as I can the ones that I suck at? The whole double-edged sword thing, I sharpen one side. I don't try to sharpen the dull side. I sharpen one side only so I can cut through all the other bullshit easily. I try to sharpen a dull blade. I might get to a mediocre level. I don't want to be mediocre. I'm okay with being all or nothing, because my all is so much better at the things that I'm good at than any fucking body else's. So I'm going to use that to push the things that I love, the things that I want to do in my life. I'm going to use the strengths to do it. And then that gains me confidence to say, you know what? Dull side, fuck you. You're not getting any of my damn attention.
I mean, I really, really believe, I've never met anyone that I didn't see the spark of genius in. And it's kind of that Albert Einstein quote about like judging a fish by its ability to climb a tree. But everyone has a spark of genius. Yep. And they just need people to be willing to nurture that. And we all need to be like understanding of each other's differences so that to see the good in people, especially, you know, we're talking about social media.
Yeah.
There's so much people having the least charitable interpretation of what someone else is or what they say.
I know.
Instead of, you know, and my original degree is actually in philosophy. And one of the main things that you learn to do it well is to assume the most charitable interpretation of what the other person is saying and argue against that. And that's how we move forward. And it's, you have to make the conscious decision to do it. Yeah. And our algorithms don't always really reward that because that's nuance and it doesn't get as many clicks. But
Well, of course. You know what? The algorithms thing, though, all that crap, all that is what those computer programs don't understand. And maybe you and Leo can build one that does is that they don't what they hate the most and what negative people hate the most is the fact that a society of people that have mental illness or mental disorders and whatnot can get together, disagree on a shit ton of things, and still respect and love the person that they are speaking with, no matter what. The world hates that. The world hates, like, it's like, oh, you disagreed with them? Well, why don't you hate them? Like, why don't you go after them? Because y'all had a disagreement on something. I mean, are you fucking kidding me?
The great pineapple on pizza war of 2020.
And it's a big war right now. I mean, look at what's happening. It's just like, oh, you believe in this? You're a terrible person. No, we can discuss it. And I still love you as a person. Let's go have a beer. I mean, like, how hard is this? I don't understand how hard it is for people to open up and to give others an avenue to say things the way they want to say it, how it affects them. That's what matters. And I guarantee you, if more people gave people those opportunities, they'd start to hear how good they are because they start telling someone else, oh, what are your strengths? What are you most proud of? Go back and listen to this. It's now there's a record of it, a documentation. I can prove it. You don't suck. And here's why. No wonder we have so many issues in this world is because people have so many good qualities, but no one's fucking telling them.
What is your profession?